We turn to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Genesis 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That is the verse I want to consider with you this morning, because there is a very great need to put back the image of God in man. I found when I was up at Peterborough remarkable ignorance of God's word among both clergy and people who spoke to us. Many others knew it well, but their remarkable ignorance, really amazing. And I just feel that we need to remember that the human heart is like this, and we need to get back to God. Now, if you were to compare, just a chapter or two back, Genesis 2, verse 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And now, take Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So the very first thing that went wrong when man sinned was his self-image. He became conscious of himself in a way he hadn't been before. The self-image reared up in front of him. And self-image is, I would say, the great problem of mankind today. And unless it's looked at from the Bible, there is no solving it. Well, you see, how was this self-image made to go wrong? Well, the truth is, it was, as I said, immensely heightened. Why was it heightened? Well, you remember what they said in verse 5 of Genesis 3. In God doth know that the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, that they had, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So the result of the fall was man wanted to be as God. Man wanted to be above God. There is no equality in this business. Satan climbs to the high sides of the throne, and man puts himself superior to God. There is no doubt that's the feeling of our generation. If you listen to anything, read the newspapers or watch television or listen to the BBC radio for a week, you'll get the picture very well indeed. Man regards himself as the superior of God and able to do what he will. Now, what they did when they regarded themselves as superior to God was ate of the tree he'd forbidden them to eat of. And so they felt that their knowledge was superior to God, and that they knew right and wrong better than God did. And that is exactly what is wrong with our generation. They feel they know right and wrong better than God did. Now, brethren, I'm not saying these things to you. You know them very well. But I am saying to you that unless you pass these things on to the younger generation, they'll certainly not learn them through churches, and they'll certainly not learn them by reading the Bible, because they don't. Only you can. And only by passing on these things, as we shall see as we go on, can this generation be saved from very, very evil things that are going on. Now, the very first thing that a sense of image brought to man was a sense of shame. That is perfectly clear. That was the first result. They knew they'd done wrong, and their self-image came down with a crash. And the trouble with man worldwide is, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. It's in Genesis 3:10. With regard to God and man, man hides himself. Everybody admits it. They put up a front where they're hiding what is behind it, and they're hiding themselves from one another, so that the paths of sin split and every sinner lives alone. And you will find we've had to multiply the number of houses in this country because people are split everywhere. Families, friends, workplace, church, wherever you like to take it, there's split and division. And the reason is very simple, that they attempt to cover themselves up. That is what is behind it. It's not the other things, but the need to be private in their own house and cover themselves up by the fig leaves that they put up to do it. Now, it boils down to this. Why has man fallen in his own esteem? Because he put himself up too high in his own esteem. I notice that each government puts itself far too high, where they're practically the sunshine is commanded by them, and the rain and the snow and the ice and everything, and they're held accountable. If they had only admitted acts of God, which I believe insurance companies now have officially ceased to admit, then they would have no trouble with these things. But because they put themselves so high, at each election they either have to hide themselves, and a lot of election is hiding themselves, or they have to crash. And that is happening time after time in our own land. So Augustine put it like this. He said the root problem of mankind is pride. That is at the bottom of every other sin there is. And of course it's true. You watch a man and a woman go into a marriage, and pride soon takes over. You look at it anywhere. You look people in the workplace, and pride stands out of their eyes. It's pride everywhere. So then, all these things become evident in a generation which has gone away from God. They openly despise God. They're not even considering God. They have a low opinion, not only of God, but of anyone who believes in God or Christ. They feel all religions are equal because they don't believe any religion is of any worth. They're all worshipping fantasy, or fairy tales, or fairyology, as I think they call it. And so any religion is as good as none, and none is as good as any. They have no use for the God of the Bible above all. And you will find they reserve their invective from him. I noticed during our last Sunday evening service, when I walked out the building and walked onto the road, I saw something shining. And I picked it up, and it had been ripped off our front door. It was one of the little lock coverings, and the cars had been going over it. And I put it back and found the screws on the floor and brought them in. But that is done just out of hate, not of us, but of God. And those things are just tiny markers of what's called bloodless persecution in Europe. So everything they do, they deliberately do as to what God has forbidden them to do. And you will find the generations are now living in absolute defiance of God's laws. They are living all the time. God saw the wickedness of man upon earth, that it was great. It's greater and greater. There is no hiding it. It's like an open, festering wound which cannot be hidden anymore under clothing, because it all festers right through and can be seen. It's like a smell which can't be hidden any longer. It says the scent of thy right hand bewrayeth thee in the Bible. And that's exactly what it is. So then they no longer bow before God's command Commandments, but they set up in their place their own Ten Commandments to replace it, and that is perfectly true. At bottom, they feel they're autonomous. They're absolutely free. And what they fight for in these revolutions and everywhere is this freedom. Governments promise freedom, greater freedom, complete freedom. It's impossible. Because man is a slave by nature. He either serves one master or another. Christ said, ye cannot serve God and mammon. By that he meant you must serve God, you were born a servant. And if you will not serve God, you will serve mammon, because you're born a servant. You have a servant's outlook on life. You wait for master's control orders. You cannot help it. You were made that way. So was I. We are born to serve. We are born slaves. We are born to sin or to righteousness. So that Jesus was the slave of righteousness, although he was the master of it, and Paul called himself the slave of Jesus Christ. And you and I are slaves of sin until we transfer our loyalties to become slaves of God. There is no autonomous freedom. It's a figment of the imagination which doesn't exist. Now again, not only is there no sense of dependence on God, but when you look at them, there is no sense of dependence on each other. Get the bankers to apologize, they say it's time we stop doing so, because we're autonomous, we're free. You depend on us, and we're a free force in the marketplace. They're always talking about this freedom. You get anyone to apologize to another, it's the hardest thing in the world. A woman was telling me that in a town, she was standing in the town talking to me and showed me the place. She had just got into her car to drive off when a man driving off behind drove right into her door and knocked her wing mirror off. She said, he stopped. I got out of the car and I said to him, you owe me the price of this all you wrong you've done. And the man said, no, I don't. You shouldn't have been pulling out. She said, I wasn't pulling out. I was sitting still. And she got out a camera and started taking photos. And he got furious, absolutely livid. Why? Because he realized that he was going to be held to account. Now, our generation believes that it is entirely autonomous, that the courts are wrong to put it in prison or to punish it, that speed limits are wrong, they're there to be broken, that laws are simply guidance, and you'll find they're being treated that way. And if you feel you're treated hardly by the court, you go to this European court or court of human rights, where they seem to have a particular defiance of God and his laws, and there you get your case heard and seen, and the whole matter is dealt with. Now, the greatest example of the pride of man is in Daniel chapter 4, when the king was Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar was walking in his above his palace in the gardens on his roof. And if you look at chapter 4 of Daniel, verse 30, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And he went into a bovine madness. Now, God is very, very plain that there is a terrible autonomous madness about man. That is with Gaddafi. It is seen in Hitler and Stalin. It is seen in many other dictators. But it's also seen in the bullying in our schools. The children bully one another. Why? Because they feel autonomous. I heard a mother, because I was the governor of a school governors, I was the chairman of the school governors, and I was at the school that morning, and I heard one mother say to her daughter outside the fence, "Don't do as the teachers say, and if they do anything to you, kick them." Now, I actually heard a mother say that to a child myself, standing outside a very good school where none of the teachers would have hurt the child in the least or done anything wrong to the child. It is absolutely appalling where their autonomy has got them. They feel absolutely autonomous, that they are it, they are the great God, and all must worship them. And as all these gods walk about the earth, they kill as they wish, they hurt as they wish, and they feel superior to every other being. It's something terrible to watch. Now, again, there's the result. The result is what? Well, you'd expect the result would be that they were very, very high. In fact, it results in an inordinately low self-image. That is the result of it all. So counsellors and criminologists who deal with delinquents and with the situations where there is crime find that the root cause of the crime again and again is the low esteem that the criminal holds of themselves or the delinquent. They find that underneath it, all this vast burst of sexual activity is a very low opinion of their own selves. So girls will behave in this way because they don't have a good self-esteem. That's the way it's going. Because of their massive height, pride cometh before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. And they've just fallen down to the earth. We used to say, push a Jew and he will fall over. But now it is, push an Englishman and he'll fall flat. And he'll fall backwards on his superior, who'll fall backwards on his, all the way to the government, who'll fall down flat. The fact is, that is the way things have gone. It's low self-esteem is at the bottom of this business. People have a very low opinion of them, of their own selves. Now, why is that? It is because man falls short of what he feels he should be. He knows all have sinned, it's written in his heart, either by the law or where there is no law, it's by the conscience. And he's been judging himself, and he says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And much of man's pride is aimed at glory and being glorious like God and magnifying himself and putting up this front of someone who he's not. So they look for the glory, and they do it in many ways. Some look for it in sport, some look for it in power, some look for it in money, some look for it in crime, and in gangs, and in knifing, and in robbing. And you'll find that they all exist like in a tennis court, with wire around them trying to please their own group and shine among it. And that is how these gangs exist, and it's how boys at school behave, and it's not cool to learn, but with whom is it not cool? Only their fellow classmates and the others in the school. The fact is, they're acting up to an audience, and that's what they're doing. So at the same time, they're looking down on themselves and despising themselves, and it's got to even hating themselves. If you ask me why there is an outburst of suicides in a village in South Wales, well, the answer is jobs have gone because of low self-esteem. Young people have a very low sense of esteem. It leads to hating themselves and then to getting these pacts over Twitter and all the other places they talk to each other, and going out with a complete stranger and committing suicide. It's from low self-esteem, which comes from far too high an opinion of oneself, and it is. Now, it leads to drugs and drink and a whole heap of evils. A feeling of total worthlessness has taken hold of a generation. The result is not just a hatred of themselves, but a hatred of society. They actually loathe the society they're in, and it shows itself in violence, in drugs, in drink, in sniffing glue, but much more. You look at the gun crimes, taking over a nursery and shooting the children and the teachers. Look at it with people who turn up back at a school and shoot all their classmates. The reason they're doing it is very simple. It is they have a terribly low self-esteem, and they believe, sometimes correctly, that all the rest of the world hates them, and that all the rest of the world disregards them and has a low opinion of them, and they determine a revenge in their minds, and they dress themselves in some semi-army uniform and go on with two or three guns and get into a supermarket or somewhere. It all comes from low self-esteem, and it all comes from the fall, and it all comes from man saying, "Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And look where it's got us, and look where it's going. It's getting worse and worse by the day. So we're in this terrible result. Now, the result is complexes in man. These, all these vast complexes which are ruining his life. This feeling that he's not only unloved but unlovable. Many young people feel they're quite unlovable, that no one would love them. In fact, if you ask me, the average engaged couple who get engaged are both very surprised that the other side ever accepted them, because they know in their own hearts how worthless they are. That's the fact of the matter. Well, now, what can be done? What can be done in all this situation? Well, first of all, recognize that these horrible things are a perverted image of God. Now, it says in the Bible, in 1 Peter 5:5, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Then we need to teach young people humility. And the best way it's done is being humble-minded. And being humble-minded means taking the lowlier part and weeping o'er our own shortcomings with loathing. It means that we admit the wrong. It means that we set ourselves lower than the other. And we are prepared to let every man look not on his own things, but on the things of others. And to take others, as Paul says, as better than ourselves. That is humbleness of heart and true humility. So people with negative self-images, like the woman who came and poured the ointment on Jesus' feet in Simon the leper's house and wiped them with the hairs of her head as she wept. She had a very low self-image, but she was nearer to God than Simon the Pharisee with all his pride, "Master, say on." And therefore in this there is a great opportunity to share with these people the need, the hope there is in Christ Jesus. Now, you know, again, the tax collector and the Pharisee, the one went to his house justified because he beat upon his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He had a negative self-attitude, and that is quite right to have. Now, how then can the self-image be regained? Well, the great imperative in our generation is for the old generation. You see, they said to me at Peterborough, the old people, they said, "Look, you and I believe like this, and they said with a smile, you'll never get them to believe it. And the young people stalked by, the young clergy women in their long trousers and high-heeled boots and fancy top with the dog collar at the top, and many others, there's a lot of it. You watch, they had a parade of the latest clergy fashions, and really womanish and proud, I should say, the fashions were. They dress as women and they want the men to dress the same. And the whole thing, when you look at it, the old people are despairing and saying, you'll never pass this on. They said to me, would God you had a church in this area. We would come and next week and we would stay. We would just want churches like this. But you see, it's at the bottom, there's this terrible pride, but it's covering up terrible inadequacy. And it's the inadequacy that we want to touch. The Spirit of God alone can do it. First, he opens the sinner's eyes to the fact it's true. He's unrighteous and unlovable and unholy and a mess. He opens his eyes much wider than the person did before. And he opens them to see what a real mess his life is in before God and how low he's fallen. And when a man sees that, then he gets like Bunyan, who sought for 2 years for righteousness. And when he was alone walking on the heath, he said that he saw, like in letters written in heaven, thy righteousness is in heaven. And he went home and examined the Bible to see where he could find the words, and he couldn't find them. But they're good. They're very much the meat of what the Bible says. Our righteousness is in Jesus in heaven. My righteousness is nil. I have a very low self-image in one sense, a worthlessness, and I know it. But I have a righteousness and I'm proud of it, and that is the robe of righteousness which Christ has put upon me. So that self-image is a realistic image. For I say, through the grace given unto me, said Paul, to every man not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And that's in Romans 12, verse 3. Now there's a realistic image then. So in lowliness of mind we begin to esteem other better than ourselves. And above all, we recognize God as above us and begin to obey him. And the obedience to God is a recognition that we are far below him. We are what it says Jesus said on the cross, I am a worm and a no man, despised of men. They may tell all my bones. There was nothing athletic about him on that cross. There was nothing desirable. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was a horrible mess. But he was accepted of God and beloved. And so are you. In Christ Jesus, your sins are nailed to that cross, and your life is hid with Christ in God by his robe of righteousness cast over you. So that is where the matter lies. Self-image is restored to a balance. Let every man think of himself soberly as he ought to think. Don't fall into the mistake that many people do among evangelicals, saying, well, I can't do it. I've been trying to get people to speak at meetings. A number of people say, well, I can't, I'm not that way. How do they know? I'm not trying to get them to preach or anything, just to speak out. They say, I can't. You see, far too many people have this idea, I can't. That's not humility. That's a form of pride. I can't, because God enables. Where God calls, God enables. And we may have to humble ourselves. I make hundreds and hundreds of mistakes in pulpits. I make a fool of myself more often than I can tell you. But God enables. And you see, it's there that it lies. God is willing to make us able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There it is. Don't fall into this evangelical mistake. It's not humility to say, I'm nothing. It's a Uriah Heep attitude to wring your hands and say, I'm a most humble man. It's not at all like that. We're humble in the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we can. Now, I must stop there, but if you don't pass that on to others, then the whole thing fails. It's self-image we've got to talk to young people about. Amen.
Amen.